This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Know that you're one of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places. Amen. Good morning. Welcome to Hidden Places. I'm Karen Hubbard, your host, and I'm here with one of my co-hosts, Nanette Maldonado.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Deanne, I forgot to mention last week that Deanne was on vacation for a couple of weeks, so she'll be back next Friday. Of course, then you'll be gone next Friday. You won't be here.
Yes, just for the day, not vacation.
Yeah.
I'm serving my husband.
Amen. Amen. And then our brother Sean is at the doctor today, so... we're going to hold him up in prayer. He's having something checked out. So we just believe that God's going to touch and heal him completely today. Amen. In the name of Jesus. I guess he's had something that's kind of been bothering him for a while. And, you know, like most of us, we always put it off. Mm-hmm. We hope it goes away. But some things just, you need to just go to the doctor and have them do something to it.
That's right.
So we just believe the best for our brother Sean today.
Yes, amen.
Amen. So.
How you feeling?
Feeling okay.
Yeah. How's your eye doing?
My eye's doing good. And so I will say that I did have cataract surgery on Monday. You know, who knew that that was something that I would be dealing with? Mm-hmm. And, just found out a couple... maybe about 2 months ago that I had a cataract. You know, when you, like, we've been talking here, you know, we've got this new software at the station here. So I've been doing pretty much, you know, inputting programs and, you know, kind of getting things up and running. So there's two monitors, one with programming in it and the other one that has the on-air screen. So since had been working on it, I kept thinking to myself, man, I can't see it. The font is like way too small. So I literally would have to stand up and, you know, be like 5 inches from the monitor to be able to read it, even with my reading glasses. So anyway, I was just ignoring it for all these months. And when I had gone into the hospital maybe about a month ago for blood pressure, and one of my discharge orders was to go to an ophthalmologist, which I've never been to in my life, except when I was 6 years old and I had to have eye surgery. So I made an appointment with the ophthalmologist. Come to find out, big cataract in my left eye. And the doctor said, we can just do the surgery. It's easy. It takes about 10 minutes. I do it. Da-da-da. Make it all. Like, super simple. So I'm like, okay. So I got it set up with him. Anyway, had that done Monday. And, I don't know how long it took because I was knocked out. I told him I don't want to hear anything. I don't want to know anything. Don't give me any details. Just...
leave those details out. Wow.
So, yeah, mm-hmm. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, you won't feel anything. So I'm... expecting that I'm going to get knocked out before I go into the room. So I went in the room with the laser first. So they wheel you in there backwards, you know, because the bed has to back into the room It looked like the custodian closet.
Oh, come on. The hospital's got to get a little bit better.
Right.
The hospital stays, I guess.
Yeah. But so backed into the room, and, you know, so I'm hearing the doctor was behind me, and the other guy, the anesthesiologist, was to my right. So they're getting everything set up. They're talking about stuff, and I'm like, I don't want to hear anything. And so then the guy said, okay, I'm going to put your IV in. And just as he said that, I felt the doctor, you know, they tilt the table back, so you feel like you're almost upside down. And so I felt the doctor grab my eyelid and, like, put that meat hook in there. That's the only thing I can think of what it felt like.
Meat hook? Oh, that's a little extreme.
It was. That's what it felt like. That's why I told him I don't want to know anything, because my imagination is so wild.
I'm very visual. That's why I'm actually seeing a meat hook. Like, I'm like, no.
I need to see what they look like. If that's but that's the only way I could describe it. So I felt him, you know, put that under my lid, because they have to stretch your lid. And I was like, oh boy. Oh,
gosh.
And he said, keep your eyes open. I'm like, oh my word. That was it. And then I was gone. I was out.
Oh, man.
Out like a light. And,
good for you.
So, yeah. So that was kind of an interesting situation. Because, you know, I've never really been to the hospital for, you know, three times in my life I've been in the hospital overnight. So it's...
Did you wake up not seeing? Because I recall our daughter Ariel, she had eye surgery, I think when she was about 5-6 years old, and she they never told us, and they never told her, like, after the surgery she wasn't gonna see, like, you know, like for the initial first minute, you know, like out of surgery. And so when we got to her, she had already been like crying, like she was in shock and calling out for us because she just couldn't see. So did you have that, like, that moment where when you got out of surgery, like, you just overall, you just couldn't?
Well, I was still pretty well doped up, so so the world was fine, everything was wonderful.
You didn't want to see at that point. You wanted to stay sleeping.
Yeah, I don't even know if seeing was even anything on my mind. I just remember going to the recovery room and walking over to sit down in the chair for about 10 minutes. And the nurse said, okay, I think that's your husband out there. And then she walked me out to the car, and that was it.
Oh, gosh. No, I felt bad for poor little Ariel. I was like, oh. And I said, why didn't you tell us? And so.
Yeah, you could have prepared her. Well,
exactly.
You know, when I was six, I think 5 or 6, I did have eye surgery.
Oh.
On that same eye.
Interesting.
And that was a freaky thing.
I think, you know, it was Ariel's left eye too.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, yeah.
Well, you know, my dad, my grandmother, my dad's mother, was the head nurse at the hospital that we were, all of us kids were born there. And that's where we went if anything was going on. And my dad refused to go in the hospital for any reason whatsoever. He'll sit out in the car. He'll sit out there waiting, but he's not going in. So I just remember having to go in. So my grandmother and one of my aunts were kind of the ones that kind of helped me in there. But, oh, that was terrible. 6 years old. And my mother, too. My mother had agoraphobia. So she didn't even want to leave the house. And plus, you know, my brothers were there. Stephen was a year younger than me, and then Tom. So she had four boys.
Are they part of the disciples?
Stephen and Tom? John, Paul, Stephen, and Thomas.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I forgot about that. Yeah. Go on. Sorry.
But I felt pretty alone there. It like my room was at the end of the hall, and it was, you know, the bright light was shining in, like the street light was, you know, right there. So I couldn't really sleep well. And then the freight elevator was right next to it.
Creepy.
I'm telling you the things I had to endure.
We all have stories.
But nothing, yeah, nothing compared to, you know, what other people have to go through.
Right.
But, you know, I was telling my sister, I said, you know, when I was in there, the wheelchairs they had were the wooden ones. They were like rattan.
Whoa. Okay.
So that was in the 50s.
Wow.
Late 50s. Yeah. Do you remember those?
Yeah, I remember those, but like I didn't sit in one. Like you actually sat in one.
No. They were out. I just remember them. Well, yes. Actually, they wheeled me in into the room in one.
I always wondered if they were comfortable or not.
They were made of wood and there was no cushions. But anyway, so that was...
That was a week. Yeah.
That was an interesting time. But whatever I had done then, it was for lazy eye, you know. So it really didn't do anything.
Yeah.
You know, it's still lazy. And it goes where it wants to.
It still does what it wants to do. Huh.
Right.
We can talk about that. Oh, gosh.
Anyway, but the cataract, trust me, I feel like I'm inside an LED light bulb. That's the only way I can describe it. I feel like I'm looking out from inside.
Do I look a lot brighter?
Yes, you do. Very crisp.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. So praise God, you know, that we have these surgeries available. And, you know, I'm just thinking that my eye is going to stay like this forever because it's a lens. My old lens is gone and this is a new one. So, yeah.
I know you're going to laugh, but I just had this moment like, can you picture us like having like live comedy? Like I just pictured us like... Huh? Did we miss our calling in life? Maybe we should like hit the streets on these like comedy dives and stuff and go out there.
Yeah, well, it's really like talking about not useless things, but you know, just stuff. Just talk about stuff.
Yeah,
things.
My mom. Yeah, my mom's always telling me. She's like, "Gosh, you have the funniest stories to tell." And I said, well, I have a tendency to over-exaggerate a little bit just to make the story a little funnier. But I seem comical. Like she finds my life very comical, you know, when it comes to just my walk with the Lord. But, you know, you're either crying or you're laughing. I mean... Right. So you know, there's days where it's just all about crying, you know, and giving it to God, and then there's other times where I laugh, and I truly believe laughter is good medicine, and at that moment I really feel well after I have a good laugh with the Lord.
Yeah, exactly. I know. So, I tend to look at things in a comical way, maybe. Maybe it wouldn't be correct to laugh at that particular time, right. But...
Oh, you're one of those.
Yes.
Where it's silence in the room when you say something and you're like, oh, that's pretty funny. And everybody's like, not so much. Anyway, good morning, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
We don't want to put anyone asleep, but we're just starting kind of slow here because we have so much to talk about. So Lord, have your way. Lord, what is on your heart this morning? What do you want to say?
Amen. Well, there was something that I saw the other day that kind of, well, actually, let me just say this, that so since Monday, and this is maybe why I'm talking about the surgery so much, sometimes you just have to be still. You know, the word tells us that, be still and know that I am God. So after the surgery got done, maybe, or got home, maybe about 11 o'clock, 11 a.m., and straight to bed. I don't want to deal with anything. Went straight to bed, slept wonderfully, you know, because some of the stuff was still in my system. So I just slept wonderfully, got up for about an hour, had something to eat, went back to bed. And literally, I've slept all through this, all day Tuesday. And then Wednesday morning, I was going to come to work on Wednesday, but I wasn't feeling too great. So slept again until late in the afternoon. But all this time, I'm just hearing the Lord say, just chill out. Just take a chill pill. You know, the world is going to continue on without you. Things are going to, you know, that old song, wheels keep on turning. You know, life is going to go on. Things are going to happen. And you don't have to worry about it. So I think that, you know, a lot of people are concerned about a lot of things. You know, there has been an acceleration of things happening. I think because we're exposed so much to social media, TV, and just all kinds of external stimuli. You know, and somehow we get sucked into it, thinking that we have to know everything and that we have to follow everything. We have to follow every news channel. We have to follow all the individual things that are happening, but we don't have to.
That's right.
We don't need to know everything. And what a way it is for the enemy to lure us visually into a place we don't need to be, where we're looking at all these other things, what's happening over here, what's happening here. You know, probably 90% of what we see, completely irrelevant.
That's right.
And, you know, so we get sucked out there, and then we lose our focus. We lose our energy. We lose sight of the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, because we know that the Lord speaks to us in a still small voice. But if we've got all this other external things going on that we're giving our attention to, we're going to miss what the Lord has for us. And I just remembered the four spiritual laws in the tract that they had. I'll have to show you that someday, because that was way before your time. But that's how I got saved, when I had the visual, you know, where the four spiritual laws. And the first dial I am on, the first spiritual law, was this circle that showed if you're on the throne of your own life, then everything you focus on is outside of that. And then the next diagram was, if Jesus is on the throne of your life, then everything is centered towards him. So there's peace and all kinds of stuff. You know, and I think most of us, we live our life before we know the Lord. We're living our life based on what we see, taste, hear, smell, everything out there, everything what other people say. But the Lord, our relationship with him is based on that quietness within our spirit man. When we're born again, that's where the Lord communes with us there. And I think these days it's really important to get into that quiet place. You know, that should be like the highest practice. You know, we talk about intimacy a lot on this program. And it's, again, the still small voice. How are you going to hear the Lord if you're out? I don't want to say gallivanting. That word just came to me, gallivanting around. But we all do it. Because, you know, we're busy.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, every time somebody texts me, oh, you know, how you doing? I'm like, oh, busy, busy. And then I'm like, why? Why am I busy? What am I busy doing? I'm just busy with stuff. I'm busy with thinking.
Yes, exactly.
You know, our minds are like going a zillion miles an hour. And, you know, the enemy's got us out here pondering all these unnecessary things.
Yes.
So, anyway, today is about be still and listen for that still small voice. And that God's really looking for that. He's looking for those who are listening. I heard a prophetic word. I think it was, I don't think it was, I know it was Chuck Pierce. Mm-hmm. He was talking about that some people have their finger on something and they're like, God's not going to touch this. And then the Lord is saying, yes, I'm going to touch that because my finger is going to come upon that particular thing. And, you know, when we're obstinate with the Lord and when we refuse to surrender to him, you know, it's painful, very yeah. painful. But we're in a time of transition, all of us. You know, everything that's happening is gearing towards the return of Jesus. And I think that's where our focus needs to be. So when we go through these times of transition and, you know, these seasons of change, we just got to go with how the Lord is leading us. We can't go with what we've already known. We have to let go of the past so that we can embrace what he has for us coming. And to me, I have the sense that the church needs to get out of the fear mode, the fear of the Antichrist, the fear of the mark of the beast, the fear of all these things and stuff that we know is coming upon the earth. But our focus should not be that. Our focus yeah. is on Jesus, the bridegroom, and preparing ourselves and making ourselves ready.
Yeah, because we all want an answer. And I think that's what we're seeing. And like, I often wonder, how would a day feel like without the noise? Not that we don't appreciate the radio, for instance. We absolutely appreciate and value the radio. We absolutely appreciate and value the fact that we can look into all of these nations around us, right? Through social media, we can hear all these voices. We can see all these faces. We can connect with family and loved ones, people from our past, present, and make connections for our future. I mean, all of that is wonderful, but can you imagine just one day without any of that? Like, I think we will think better. I think we will think clearer. I think we will be in that place of rest, that true place of rest, where we don't have to work towards it. Like many people are trying to even use other things to try to get them to that peaceful state, to that restful state. I mean, we're going everywhere to find those answers of what this be still feels like. And it could be a matter of shutting all that down. I mean, the other day I found myself, actually my husband was the one, he was like, babe, he goes, stop listening to everything.
Right.
You know, it was a rebuke, but it was coming from a place of love because he was saying, gosh, you know, like all of that is filling your mind with the unnecessary. Like, you don't need to listen to any of that. And again, it's just reminding me what we were talking about, but you have to listen to that still, small voice, that whisper in the midst of it all. In the midst of it all. And so, and we were talking about that, you know, Karen, you know, and it's just, it's so necessary for this time of transition.
Yeah, absolutely. what was that one scripture about Elijah?
Yeah.
And Elisha.
Yeah.
Time of transition. Yeah. Actually, let's go to what was the other one?
The First Kings where
First Kings 19. Okay. Yeah. So this, I don't really know the backstory, just Elijah at Horeb. Mm-hmm. Elijah went into a cave and he spent the night there. Was this after Jezebel?
Yeah.
Okay. I went into a cave and he spent the night. All of a sudden, the Lord spoke to him, "Why are you here, Elijah?" He answered, "I've been absolutely loyal to the Lord, the sovereign God. Even though the Israelites have abandoned the agreement they made with you, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, I alone am left, and now they want to take my life." The Lord said, "Go out and stand in the mountain before the Lord. Look, the Lord is ready to pass by." A very powerful wind went by before the Lord, digging into the mountain and causing landslides. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the windstorm, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, there was a soft whisper. When Elijah heard it, he covered his face with his robe. He went out and he stood at the entrance to the cave. All of a sudden, a voice asked him, "Why are you here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been absolutely loyal to the Lord, the sovereign God. Even though the Israelites have abandoned the agreement they made with you, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, I alone am left, and now they want to take my life." And the Lord said to go back the way you came and head for the desert of Damascus. Go and anoint Hazael, king over Syria. And then you must anoint Jehu. So anyone going on and on. So then he got the instruction from there. But
that's right.
But the point is that it was a soft whisper. And when you're in a time of transition, just think about when you go from one season to another. You know, here your life is going along. Yeah, you're in ministry. You got all this stuff happening. And then all of a sudden, things begin to not go very well. Things begin to dry up. And then you don't enjoy it anymore and becomes drudgery. And so if you don't sense the fact that the Lord is moving you on, well, it's like Paul in Acts 19.
Mm-hmm.
Let me read that real quick.
Exactly.
Unless you can find it before me. Still having trouble with these eyes. Well, now my glasses don't work now, so they're too fuzzy. I have to get new reading glasses. So Paul in Acts 19.
Yeah, I had it before, and I just...
Okay, I got it here from... This is in the Message.
Yeah.
So Acts 19, 8 and 9.
Mm-hmm.
Paul went straight to the meeting place. He had the run of the place for 3 months, doing his best to make the things of the kingdom of God real and convincing to them. But then resistance began to form as some of them began spreading evil rumors through the congregation about the Christian way of life. So Paul left, taking the disciples with him, and he set up shop in the school of Tyrannus, holding class there daily. He did this for 2 years. Giving everyone in the province of Asia, Jews as well as Greeks, ample opportunity to hear the message of the Master. But I was reading in the Sparkling Gems this morning, Rick Renner's devotional. It's talking about changing seasons, moving on in life at the right time. And he's saying one of the most difficult moments of life is when you realize that one season is ended and the time is right for you to move on to your next season.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case with Paul, Paul was very successful for the 3 months that he was there, but they started acting up and speaking evil to him. And so Paul realized, you know what, time to go. Got to move on. So it was a change in a season for him. If he had stayed, he would have become very ineffective. So anyway, I guess what we're talking about in context is this in-between place. So he went, you know, he set up shop somewhere else. But if you're in a place where it's, you know that there's a change coming, you're in a transition period, it's when you're in that middle place, that's when we kind of get wonky and we go kind of weird.
Yeah.
And we start trying to do things on our own. It's like you're not, you're just in the in-between place. You're not where you had been. You don't have the successes that you had before.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the effectiveness as you had before. I think with Paul here, the effectiveness was there, but yes, people didn't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're bucking the system, and he's like, well, I'm not going to waste my time here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, when you're in that in-between place, you're not in the new place yet, but it's the still small voice. That's where you got to listen for the still small voice when you're in the in-between place and seasons, so that you don't go off the wrong path.
Yeah.
And that you don't go your own way because you don't want to wait for the Lord. And even with the Elijah and Elisha, when the chariot came to take Elijah up, Elisha knew, he knew Elijah was going, and he wanted that mantle. So he was in an in-between place. Think about that. So when Elijah's mantle came or fell, Elisha was still not in his old place, but he was getting ready to be in the new place.
Yeah.
You know, with that double portion.
Yeah, yeah. And he tore his, which was interesting, he tore his clothes, he tore his robe, you know. And after he tore his robe, he picked up Elijah's, you know, cloak. And so there's so much about transition, like you're saying, Karen. The first in the Old Testament, you know, in the book of Kings, you're seeing Elijah getting to that place to hear the whisper, right? To hear his voice, that still small voice. And then you see in the book of Acts with Paul, how he says the Holy Spirit compelled him. Like he just felt the unction. He just felt the movement of the Holy Spirit telling him it's time to go. Although he was effective. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we don't want to leave a place when you see the increase that God is bringing. You see the effectiveness of what you're doing. And you look at that as an indication as I have to stay. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the going is good. You know, it's good. This is God. I'm not supposed to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But again, Paul recognized the Spirit and he recognized it was time to go. He didn't waste any time and he didn't say, well, let me stay and just test the Spirit and allow the ineffectiveness to come.
Mm.
He wanted to leave it in an effective place. He wanted to leave it in a good place. Why mm-hmm. should we wait, right? Why should we wait when the grace is lifted? Why should we wait when then problems arise? Or like you said, we don't become effective. And, you know, so we're hearing all this and back to this place where Elisha said he tore his robe, you know, his clothes and stuff. It's like I can't help but to feel like when you are in transition and you're about to go, you know, the shift is happening and you're about to enter into the new, whatever it is, you're about to take something new on, it doesn't feel good. Even though you're happy and you're asking for that very thing and you're excited, it's like you have to leave the old behind. You're in that state of turmoil. You know, whether it be good or not, you're in this state of turmoil, you're in this state of death, and you're like, you know, you're ripping. I mean, that's kind of like an indication of like, oh gosh, you know, like, I gotta move from this. I can't let anything hold me back. I just have to take off these clothes. And you know, the tearing of clothes, that's another level. Mm-hmm. That's like, you know, you can say a lot about that, but it isn't easy. It gets really, really intense to walk in the new and be willing to let go of all of that. Mm-hmm. Be willing to get to a place like, ah, that's it. Enough is enough. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't do it the old way, you know?
Yeah. I think that, like with Elijah, when he stood at the entrance of the cave, you know, you go in a cave to hide, you know, but it's as if he's like, okay, I'm kind of hearing from the Lord, so let me stand mm-hmm. at the edge of the cave, and, you know, which is almost a way of saying, okay, I'm ready to move on. I'm ready to,
wow, yeah.
you know, hear the new thing.
Like inclining your ear to the Lord.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So let's take a break real quick. We might take some phone calls or a phone call.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You know, if anybody wants to make a comment, we're just kind of, you know, going along here.
Yeah.
And trust in the Holy Spirit. And but I do want to, we got to get the break in. So we will do that and be back in a few minutes.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Okay, we are back. We're back. And
that's actually confirmation, Karen.
Oh, yeah. You know, so we asked if people would call in. Hold on. Jonathan's waving his hands.
Taking a call, Anne Marie. She's supportive.
Okay, we have a call. We have... Yeah, Jonathan's transferring the call in. You know, it would be nice to hear from Brother Tim. We know he's listening. He listens very intently. All right, let's take this call. This call that doesn't want to connect. Oh, it's that other phone. He transferred it to the wrong phone. Sorry about that. Go ahead. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Good morning, Karen and Nanette. This is Anne-Marie. I just wanted to say that it was a precious thing you were sharing about Elijah and the cave. That somehow is always something that I keep going back to, and I just need to draw back to those moments when I'm looking for the still small voice, when it seems like the earthquake's happening and the thunder and the fire. Mm. And as far as the challenges in life. And I just thank God, you know, that knows that we just draw near to his presence, and that his still small voice is there so beautifully. And I just want to say that when I was reading that, it was just like purposefully in my heart, just saying, Lord, just let me, my ears be tuned, like Nanette was saying, and you were saying about listening to the still small voice, and just drawing near to his presence even more in the time of the chaos and the clutter of the world's busyness. And I just thank God for the program that you're sharing the heart, and always reminding everyone to be challenged to take that still small voice time of that personal intimacy with the Lord. And love you ladies very much, and love your program.
Amen. Thanks, Anne Marie.
Thank you. We love you back.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
All right.
Blessing. Bye. Blessing.
Thank you.
Amen.
Well, that was
Anne Marie,
nice.
She and David are great supporters of the station.
Oh.
And they always,
we love them,
they
yes.
listen to every program, and they really provide a lot of great feedback.
They love the Lord.
Yes, they do.
Yes.
But so speaking of still small voice, Deanne had given us this word on September 6th. I'm going to read it again. I don't remember everything about it, but it was in our September 6th program. And I found this morning when I was just grabbing my Bible to, I had a bunch of papers in there, and this was right on the top. So I think I need to read this. So this is, again, from a word that the Lord gave to Deanne. My word instructs us to be still and know that I am God. There is coming very soon a reviving of this truth. I alone am God. There is none like me, none beside me, none even compare to me. Nothing is or was ever without me. People have lost the knowing, understanding, and longing for me, God Almighty. There is too much noise, constant chatter of voices that are not speaking anything of power or value. My voice, my word, will once again thunder and be heard across the world. Men will bow, men will fall to their knees in holy desperation and surrender, calling upon me, the God of the Bible, maker of heaven and earth. No man has the answers, but I am the all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present God who hears and listens. I must be the first go-to, the first stop, the first thought, and the first rock that man will depend upon. Desperate times call for desperate action and decisions. Why must it always come to this position before man humbles himself to ask for my wisdom and direction? In the flesh, there is constant striving and stressing to find the reason and the solution. In my spirit, the only striving is to enter into my peaceful, loving, holy presence that contains freely all that is needed. In my presence, you will be refreshed. In my presence, you are filled with joy and strength for the day ahead. In my presence, you will encounter my glory. When you hunger and desire more and more of me, long for that place, seek my face. Get prepared to run your race. I will provide the grace to protect you on the journey of obedience. Your surrender, trust, and submission to my call, assignments, and instruction will bring open heavens of blessings, prosperity, and abundance of my kingdom promises. You are heirs to my kingdom and joint heirs with my son Jesus. Know, live, and walk in your position and anointing daily as my children of promise. Well, praise God.
Amen.
So, yeah, you know, the Lord... I remember hearing Apostle Solly, who had a program on here a couple of years ago. He said, you know, God loves to hear us talk about him. He loves to hear about himself. And, so when we exalt him and make him first, you know, I don't want to get to heaven and think, wow, God had all this stuff for me, but here I was over here concerned about stupid things and irrelevant things and unimportant things. You know, when he has everything. And you know, I'm just beginning now to just really want, I want everything that the Lord has for me, because it's way more than I'm thinking for myself. And, you know, sometimes there's a, you know, there's a false humility. Oh, well, you know, I don't want to ask the Lord for this, and, you know, because I don't deserve that. You know, we got to get over that. You know, God has so much for us. He has so much more than we can ever ask or imagine. But for some reason, we limit him by limiting ourselves. A little off topic there, but you know, he has so much for us. Why don't we just throw this old world away, the world, the flesh, and the devil. You know, the carnal things, the carnal stuff. Oh, it's just, you know, when you get sick of the earth, you get sick of the world, you get sick of sin, you know, and when, like when your eyes are open to it, then you know that only the Lord God can satisfy you and fill you.
Yeah, because, you know, it's interesting, because even the scriptures that we were using a few minutes ago, gosh, they just keep on speaking. Like, God's word just continues to minister to us, and I pray that those that are listening, that those scriptures are continuing to minister to them and to speak to them. Because even right now, I'm listening to what you're saying, and you know, just going back to the First Kings, you know, when Elijah was, you know, stood at the entrance of the cave, right? It was interesting that when he's, when the voice, you know, when God said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" You know, I believe he was at a place that he was pretty much done. You know, he was done. Like, he was done. He was at that place. Like, just take me.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I'm did done. Already, yeah. You know. And, but, you know, God still had something left. There was still something that Elijah needed to do. And so when he heard that gentle whisper, he was given instruction. So I believe that people right now, listen, wait. It's worth it to listen to that whisper. Because after that whisper comes instruction. He was faithful to Elijah. Right. He's going to be faithful to you. He's going to be faithful to you, Anne-Marie. He's going to be faithful. He's going to be faithful to give you the instructions. And then it's interesting that after all that, and here comes Elijah, like we were talking about, right? To receive that double portion that he was asking for. And Elijah was taken up to the heavens. You know, and we and I had shared that, you know, Elisha tore his clothes in distress, right? I love this. Like, this is just speaking to me right now in 2 Kings 2 13. 2 Kings 2 13. This is after he tore his clothes in distress. It says Elisha picked up Elijah's cloak, which had fallen when he was taken up. Then Elisha returned to the bank of the Jordan, and he struck the water with Elijah's cloak and cried out. So it's like, for me, it's speaking like he took whatever was left, right? Or he took whatever the generals before him, the people of the faith before him, right? To get him back, right? To the bank of the Jordan, okay? That very thing, right? Took him to a point. But then it was interesting that he says, right after that, he cried out after he struck the water, right? With Elijah's cloak. He said, where is the Lord God of Elijah, right? Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? It's like at that moment, he was like, I want you for myself.
Right.
I want to have, like I'm decreeing and declaring, I'm going to have, like I want to have what Elijah had. That voice in my life, that leadership, like that direction. And what happened? Then the river divided. Mm-hmm. It's like that God that Elijah before him was following became known to him in a greater way, not as a student.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because, you know, Elisha was a student of Elijah, right? Mm-hmm.
Right.
But it was like he said, where is the Lord? It's like, didn't you know him, brother? Like, what? But at that moment, he's like, where is the Lord? And this is just me. This is what I'm receiving for me. This is my rhema word for me, you know? Where, and then the river divided and Elisha went across. And then the group of prophets from Jericho saw from a distance what had happened. And they exclaimed, Elijah's spirit rest upon Elisha. Like, you know, there's something relevant to that right now. So here we see, right, Elijah getting to that point at the end of the cave, listening to that still small voice, receiving instructions. And there were important instructions back in 1 Kings, okay? They were, you know, he was saying, you know, you need to anoint this one. You know what I mean? You need to do this. And then you see with Elisha, like, there was a moment when he was following the one that was following the one.
Mm-hmm.
When he got to that place to say, okay, where is this God? And I want to hear from him myself. I want him to lead me the way he led my brother before me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, this is why that still small voice is important. This is why when you're in transition to hear his voice, to know God for yourself, to get to that point, like, I don't want to chew on or listen to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear you for myself. When we get to the end of ourselves, when we get to the point that we're saying, God, take over truly.
Mm-hmm.
God, lead us truly. He's so faithful to do it, Karen.
Amen.
He does. He's been faithful to me. He's been faithful to you. He's been faithful to so many brothers and sisters. And listen, the ones that are listening that don't think that he is faithful, he is. Get to that place. Get to the end of that cave. Get to the end of yourself. Get to that place that you want it more than the other one.
Mm-hmm.
That you get to that place with expectancy. That you cry out and you say, God, where are you? Make yourself known to me. You know?
Amen. And you, yeah, because you want, well, you know, where's the Lord God of Elijah? You know, okay, God, I'm here now. He's gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to get your own, like you were talking about, your own anointing. God created you with your own anointing to do certain things. You can't use somebody else's anointing. In this case with Elijah, you know, he did. It's just like...
Double, right.
Yeah. So when you're, you know, if you're under a ministry of sorts, I always think about John Hagee, you know, and then his son. It's like he's like exactly like him, you know, because that mantle was given to the son, but yet he's his own person. So his own... whatever the Lord has done in his life comes mm-hmm. into that, but yet you can still see his father in him. So this the same with the Elijah and Elisha. But some of us, you know, never get to the point where we get our own. You know, we're still living off of the other person's anointing, but you got to get to that place, you know. You got to get to your own place in the Lord to where you're going to be able to stand on your own, so to speak. stand on your own anointing. Find out what your anointing is. What are you gifted to do? What are you anointed to do? And, you know, you take what has been imparted to you all through your Christian life, and, you know, so-and-so spoke into your life, whatever. So-and-so trained you, mentored you. But there's a time coming when you stand on your own and you've all of those things that the Lord has deposited in you become your own. And then you walk in that anointing that the Lord gave you. I think a lot of people are, we're talking about the transition, the in-between place. You know, some people never make it out of the in-between place.
No, they don't.
Mm-hmm. You know, still like wandering around and, you know, trying to figure out, what am I supposed to do? It's always the still small voice. It's always that intimacy with the Lord. It everything goes back to that time that you spend with Him. And whether you're in a time of, you know, great peace or upheaval or chaos, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you,
yeah,
not as the world gives."
Yeah.
You know, so you find that peace of the Lord. Yeah. When you have that peace, then you'll be able to wade through anything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you finally get to your destination,
yeah,
and your purpose and your, mm-hmm, destiny in the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you got to remove the old.
Yes.
You got to tear those old robes. You got to be willing to go through the pain sometimes. Mm-hmm. You have to be willing to let things go. If you want to wear that new thing, if you want to go to that new place with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I just remembered when I came back to the Lord in 97, and actually it was before that, but we had moved to the Bahamas, mm-hmm, and I wasn't working, and we lived in this great place where there was nobody around, right by the beach. But, you know, that's where the Lord really taught me the word, and where I spent every waking hour with Him. But I remember like thinking, I had all this stuff in my mind, and I'm like, what is this? Is this you, God? You know, and it was really a time I had no idea what was going on. I didn't know, who is this? Is this New Age? Is this God? And it, you know, but I had, right, I had to learn the voice of God. But I remember one day I'm sitting there, and the Lord said, "This is not a fairy tale." And I'm like, oh my word. That was real there. Lord, that was the Holy Spirit that spoke to me. "This is not a fairy tale."
Wow. That's,
and, right, you know, so just that one little thing kept me, you,
yes,
know. And then the next day he would say something, and, you know, just, but I still had, it took years, mm-hmm, you know, to kind of, to wade through everything, to, mm-hmm, really learn His voice, mm-hmm, that still small voice.
Amen.
And like you said earlier, He is faithful, and He's going to bring to pass whatever He has spoken to you,
mm-hmm,
in your life. And, you know, what better life is there? There's no better life outside of the Lord. So
no,
just keep digging in, looking for that still small voice, spending that time with Him,
being still,
yeah, and just listening. Just get rid of the clutter,
yeah,
the clamoring and the clutter,
and get ready to come out of that transition successfully.
Yes, with a word,
with a word,
you know, with that assurance, yeah, from Him,
instructions. Amen. And to that new thing.
Amen. And like they always say, you'll know it in your knower.
That's right.
But, oh boy, we're almost out of time. Pretty much got like a minute left.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That pretty much sums it up, right?
It does. So anyway, we do want to hear from you.
Yes.
So again, you can use the website, WCNO.com, and use the prayer request form if you'd like to make a prayer request, if you'd like us to pray, because we do want to pray on the air, and sometimes the,
yeah,
Lord leads us to do that. But if you have a question or a comment, then we would love to hear from you. Just use that prayer request form, and make sure you address it to Hidden Places, so we'll know where to send it. And so we'll be back next week. Hopefully our brother Sane is doing well at the doctor's, and Deanne will be back next week, but Nanette won't be here.
Yes. So I'll miss you all.
We'll miss you too. All right. God bless.
God bless.